Germany was going to have to accept full and sole responsibility for the outbreak of the war in the summer of 1914. This the Germans vehemently rejected, and it seemed, as far as they were concerned, to add insult to injury. But this was the basis for the inflicting of reparations on Germany. Germany had started the war. The Germans were solely responsible for its outbreak, and therefore they had to accept the financial responsibility in the form of reparations. No figure was actually determined during these deliberations at Versailles. Germany was, in effect, going to be compelled to sign a blank check, this time not to an Austrian ally, but to the Allies for financial compensation. I would say no other issue, and we will certainly have opportunity to talk about this when we talk about the international situation in the interwar years. No other issue so poisoned international relations in the 1920s and into the 1930s than did reparations. It is, however, I think, as a parenthetical observation, important to realize that for all of the wailing and howling done by the Germans over the notion of reparations, it's important to remember that in 1871, after the defeat of Napoleon III's France, Germany had imposed reparations on the French, which the French had managed to pay off by 1873. But it was clear to everyone that this was going to be a very, very big bill that was going to be advanced to the Germans. Germany was also going to be forced to accept a significant loss of territory. Alsace and Lorraine, needless to say, were ceded back over to France. Portions of eastern Germany were taken and given to the new Polish state, creating the so-called Polish Corridor to give this new Polish state access to the sea, creating a very odd situation in which there is the main part of Germany, and then the Polish Corridor, and then East Prussia, also part of Germany, separated from the main territory of Germany. In addition to the corridor, the German city of Danzig, the most important on the Baltic, was to be turned over to the League of Nations for its administration and be largely used as a port for the Polish state. Poland needed a major port on the Baltic. Finally, in terms of territorial issues, Germany was to forfeit all of its colonial possessions. The way that this was going to be dealt with, the Americans were quite uneasy, indeed unhappy, about simply ceding German colonial possessions directly over to the European states. So a situation was worked out, we'll have an opportunity to talk about it a bit later on as well, in which they were turned over to the League of Nations and then administered by other states. Germany would lose, all told, about 15% of its territory as a result of the Treaty of Versailles. In addition to these clauses, there were military terms of the treaty that were imposed upon the Germans. The German army, Europe's most advanced army, was now to be slashed to 100,000 troops, all volunteers. There could be no draft of the German army. Terms of enrollment in the army, of service in the army, were extended so that the Germans couldn't use the ruse of limiting the troops to 100,000 and then rushing people through 6 to 9 months to a year's worth of training that way. So this one of the great institutions, one of the institutions which had really left its mark on German society, which was a source of real status within Germany itself, the German army, was now reduced to 100,000 troops. In addition, Germany was forbidden to possess an air force, a navy, artillery, armor of any sort, heavy artillery, or any sort of armor. And it was forced to accept the occupation and then demilitarization of the Rhineland. The territory on the west bank of the Rhine, although German, and to be part of Germany, was to have no German troops. This was an absolutely key